So there's this word on the street that's trending. It's called kachihandi.
Kachihandi. So it means conversation. And in this case, it means conversations we're too scared to have.
Oh, okay. Now I understand.
Welcome back to this episode of Kachihandi. We're so excited this episode. We have such a lovely lady who's coming here to tell us her incredibly beautiful story. This episode's guest is Mwalia. Imagine brain fog. Like we haven't been speaking. Forgive me. Mwalia Silwamba Kasongola. For shame. But you know, Bemba names are like
that. I'm a typical Zambian. The Vualia, which is Bemba. The Silwamba is actually Namwanga Mambuyan.
Really? Tonga, yes. So you're the one Zambia, one nation in one. You see, but Bemba names are like, you feel like if you've said Vualia,
Mwamba is close. You've said
Mwaba. All of them. Yes. Anyway, and then mine is just hard. But no, it's not hard. It's long. Anyway, so we've got an amazing guest who is going to tell us her beautiful story about a beautiful gift that she has. So, Walia, tell us a little bit about your journey to motherhood.
Journey to motherhood. By the way, keeping in mind, I've got 5 children. Mm-hmm. So the journey to motherhood started when I was, 22?
Okay.
Yes. Had my first child. He's now, 16? So that's just giving away my age as well.
She doesn't look like she has a 16-year-old.
So, I mean, that was obviously very difficult. Had him in another country. And okay. So we fast forward to child number 2. He's 11. And it was very interesting because that was the child I actually literally took care of. My first was taken care of by his grandparents. So he looks at me like his sister. So that's your story for another day. And then we come to my daughter. The reason I'm here. Mutinta. She's 8 years old now. When she was born, I mean, I was happy. I wanted a girl. We were actually going to stop with the 2 boys.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm having a girl and this is going to happen. And I did have a girl. And God bless me, such a beautiful, beautiful baby. Blessed us with a beautiful baby. And so what happened was 3 months into her being with us, I noticed, I mean, obviously I was a mother of 2 other kids. So I would do all the things that needed to be done to check that your child is okay. And I would do, with every month, I would have like a milestone that I would just check on. So checked her eyes and obviously finger from one side to the other, trying to check movement of her eyes, and there was none. So I was obviously like, this is not right. Told my mother. My mother's like, no, you're just panicking because the baby's growing their own time. So I was like, no, I need to get this checked. So I took her to the hospital thinking it was just, obviously, she's gonna, worst case is glasses. Which I had no problem with. Got to the hospital and they checked her vitals and they realized, oh, this head is a bit too small on the smaller side. And next thing, from that, it spiraled all the way to doctors checking. And next thing, doctors saying, you need to take a seat. I've got very bad news for you. I'm like, okay, bad news. I mean, obviously, it's just eyesight. So what's the worst that can happen? And next thing, I was being told, won't be able to walk, won't be able to talk, won't be able to stand, won't be able to see. And obviously I was like, this is confusing, obviously, because all I did was go to the hospital with an eye problem. Obviously cried, broke down. It was very hard. I mean, even up to today, I still feel that speaking for the other people that are getting to know about their children's situations, that how they're told is very important.
That bedside manner.
I mean, I always give an example of an HIV patient. And how you break that news to them.
There's
some counseling that needs to be done. You ask where you're coming from, what's going on, are you okay? Come back tomorrow with your husband or with your partner. I never got any of that. So that still sits at the back of my head. But obviously, fast forward from that, we did some tests. Yeah. And obviously it came out with, she's actually got a condition.
Mm-hmm.
Umbrella term is cerebral palsy.
Okay, okay.
But the actual condition, she's got a missing part of her brain, which is called the genesis of the corpus callosum.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, so that kind of affects anything to do with the brain being where it's not, I mean, the way it's not supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
It affects developmental delays.
Right,
and all those things.
Right.
So yeah, so
okay,
it literally went from that. And then obviously after that, as you said, journey to motherhood, we had her, I was like, okay, this is our last child.
Yeah.
This is it. We're done.
Mm.
And then we got surprise twins after that. So basically I'm looking at four boys and one girl.
Wow.
So yeah, so it's been quite an interesting.
Okay. Yeah. So the twins were a surprise.
They were a surprise.
And
they
then
were definitely
got,
a surprise.
And then you got two.
I actually cried. I would never.
You cried.
I cried. I sat on that with the sonographer, and she's just like, oh, checking the one child. I'm like, yeah, okay, how baby's okay. And next thing, because obviously I was panicking because of my daughter, so I was just needing to make sure these things were being done properly.
Yeah.
And then I see something moving in the corner. I'm like, there's something that's not sitting right in that corner. And then she's like, oh, congratulations, you have twins.
Yo.
And I was, I started crying.
I mean, we laugh now. I always find it hilarious when mothers cry.
This is a good thing. I'm like, what am I gonna do with five children? So yeah, so that was the crying, but obviously I had other reasons.
Yeah,
because now I was thinking, is this gonna be the same story that I was dealing with in regards to my daughter?
And I was going to ask that. Yeah. I mean, obviously we'll talk about everything else after, but. After you were told about your daughter's condition, I don't know, the gap between her and the twins?
The gap, so she's 8 and they're 5.
Okay, so it's about 3 years.
Yeah.
Were you scared to try again?
Yes. That's why I said they were. She had to be the last.
Yeah.
Because we just thought there's so much that's involved in taking care of her.
Mm.
I mean, and you know when you're not in these situations, you don't realize how much people are going through, and in regards to just medication and trying to find like her mode of what needs to make her comfortable,
right? Yes,
obviously mode of movement, transport, whatever. All those things we never really thought about, and we only just realized that these are the issues that we're having to deal with,
right?
So we were like, this is gonna be a very, lack of a better term, an expensive situation that we found ourselves in. So adding more children wouldn't really be advisable.
Yeah.
So yeah, hence the surprise.
Wow. Okay. So in your daughter's pregnancy, with your daughter's pregnancy rather, there was nothing, like there was no scan that showed anything or anything that sort of prepared you before you going to have her eyes checked?
So, I went for the scans, all the scans. And every time I walked into that room, they would just check and say, everything's fine. Check, everything's fine. Check, everything's fine. But when I fast forward to like after she was born and finding out what we found out, I did my research and I thought, you know, I don't think they really, I mean, at that particular place.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they were doing it properly. Because if they did do it properly, it would be a situation where they would see some of these things, like have like a proper head scan done of the baby. So not that, if you asked me if I wanted to know beforehand, I actually am happy that I didn't know.
Okay, that's...
Because then that gives you like a choice.
And because I think I've heard of mothers who found out before.
Yeah.
And I've heard both those who made the difficult decision to say, I don't know whether I can go forward. Yeah. And then those who were like, I was okay proceeding.
Yeah.
I didn't know really what the challenge would be like.
Yeah.
Like nothing prepared me for, not maybe the challenge, how different it is to raise a child that's, you know, not necessarily the same as another.
Yeah.
So it's interesting for you to say you're glad you didn't know.
Yeah, because I think given the if I was given options, that would be very difficult.
Yeah, because I can imagine that it is.
That would be very
and I think
difficult.
Sometimes we underestimate just how hard that decision is for parents, because you want a child and you're happy. And I know that, you know, sometimes they're like, oh, as long as the child is healthy.
Yeah.
But then you find that, okay, maybe the child will need help for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And then now you're faced with that like very difficult decision. Because I can't imagine that it's easy, even though people say, oh, no.
No, it's not easy. Even up to today, it's not easy. I mean, it's the little things like I've got friends that we were pregnant at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
So our babies are basically the same age.
Yes.
And I feel sorry for them today. Mm. Fast forward, like I keep saying, because before then it was never understood.
Yeah.
I feel like now I can understand where they were coming from, because my daughter was sensitive to sound.
Right.
She was sensitive to light.
Yeah.
So it was all those things where even now she's still sensitive to sound and light.
Mm.
Cause she's epileptic as well.
Okay.
So it would get very difficult, to like be invited to parties. And
yes.
I would want her to be invited.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm like, she's just another child.
Yes. Yes.
But they're looking at it from the aspect of when I say these things, they're like, so if we invite her and then there's cameras and
right, yes.
It would trigger her epilepsy,
yeah,
or
yeah.
if there's a lot of noise, it would trigger her epilepsy again.
Yeah.
So it made me feel very, at some point, I think the first few years were very difficult.
Because I'm sure you felt
literally
isolated.
Just made you feel very isolated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to you finding out. For you and your husband as parents, like what was that like? And I mean, where was your support system? And we talk about it's a village, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know in this first instance, you know, like what did that look like?
My husband was and still is extremely, like, that's probably his favorite child.
Really?
Hope he doesn't get to hear this.
Well, the boys, actually. The boys I'm worried about.
Yeah. Yeah? So, I mean, he's absolutely amazing. Did everything from day one till today. Mm. When he found out, obviously, how we found out, he was very upset as well, because it was like, how do you just tell us? And you don't prepare us. And you don't say, let's do tests.
Yeah.
Let's see whether it's what we think it is.
Yeah.
We are suspecting. Can we do tests?
Yeah.
It was basically what it was, like, this is what it's going to be. And then that was in regards to my husband. And with my family, family, very strong support system. Like, they were literally all in.
Oh,
my
wow.
mother and my, I've got sisters, my mother, my sisters.
Yeah.
They were literally all in, and they were just like, what do you need to do? What needs to be done? How much help do you need?
Wow.
In the first few months, she would cry like from 6 a.m. No, she would start from like 6 p.m. and finish crying at 6 a.m.
Wow.
And it was just a case of, I was at my mother's house. She would be like, okay, let me take her. Let me hold her. My sister would come in. Let me take her. Let me hold her. We have this nanny that we still have.
Mm-hmm.
8 years later, she left a bit and she came back.
Yeah, yeah.
She started working with us when our daughter was 3 days old.
Okay,
and she's still there.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So
and that's good for Zambia. That's excellent.
Extremely good. We've been very fortunate, and there's two of them. So there's the other one who's been with us for like 5 years.
Okay.
So I mean, what I made sure I did with the people around me was just let everyone know what goes on with her medication, so that there's never someone who's there that doesn't know what to do with her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's amazing. I'm so glad that you had that support system because I've heard of other people finding their journey to acceptance so isolating.
Yeah.
Like, first you're dealing with a diagnosis, then you have to get to accept, and then there's, you just feel like there's no one for you to lean on as a couple, and no one for you to like look to for help.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So in regards to like having the support system, my husband, my family, they were there.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously you had like the few questions that would pop up from here, there and everywhere. What did you do wrong?
Because
what were you drinking?
Yes.
What were you eating?
And
what?
There's always that person
there
who feels they
something.
Know something.
Yeah.
Or they're hinting like they know.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I used to see you wearing heels.
Yeah.
And you're like,
no, it had nothing. I mean, even the tight clothes that you wore when you were pregnant.
Mm.
And so I had a lot of that. I mean, not a lot, but it was enough.
Yeah, it was. It's enough to trigger you even.
Think a little bit about whether it was something I did wrong.
So did you go through that?
I did.
Really?
I did. I had to start asking. Like, I did a lot of research. I've done I think I'll probably be a doctor now. I've done so much research on my daughter's condition.
Yeah.
Obviously still researching.
Yeah.
But in regards to... Mm-hmm. In regards to the
other side, the other questions side, and all.
Questions. Mm-hmm. It was a case of what was I doing in the first 3 months? Because the research told me that, okay, so this happens, like a brain forming happens in the first 3 months of your pregnancy.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, in the first 3 months, what was I doing? What wasn't I doing?
Mm.
So I had to go back to that space and I kept on asking myself and
really
trying to figure it out.
And how do you pull yourself back from going? Because obviously when you go down that path, sometimes you feel like I just want to see where I could have gone wrong.
Yeah.
But then does guilt not start to set in? And then how do you pull yourself out from that, I don't know, the investigative route?
To be honest, the guilt was still there for a very long time.
Really?
Like years later.
Oh, wow.
To a point where it affected the pregnancy I had with the twins.
Really?
Because with that one, I mean, anyone that's close enough, you'd probably ask and you'll be told that, oh my goodness, she was going from point A to point B to get scans done just to make sure
that they were fine,
the babies were fine. And it was very difficult because I just kept saying it could be something that I'm doing that I don't even know I did with my daughter that I'm doing again.
I hear you.
Because
I can imagine that now. Yeah, and especially because it was a surprise. I'm sure I even thought, is it too late? Have I missed the mark? Maybe let me just overdose on prenatal vitamins so that I can make sure I catch up.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the fortunate part, sorry to cut you short, the fortunate part was I kept reminding myself that I've got two older kids. I had similar pregnancies.
Right, right.
So I kept telling myself, if these came out okay, this was just something that was meant for bad that kind of would eventually turn into a blessing.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to ask you, since we've talked about the other side and people asking you questions, what is it now? Like, they're eight. I mean, you think... But because she's eight, people now know about Mutinta and they love her the same way that you love them, that you love her rather. Mm-hmm. Do you still get some weird questions and comments and those suggestions where you want to be like, oh, thank you.
I've had a lot of prayer warriors.
Right.
You don't pray enough. Okay. If you had prayed in this direction, this would be happening to your daughter. There's a time we took her to the hospital and I bumped into this woman who saw us going in.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, I've been waiting for you to come out. I've been waiting like an hour. Obviously, you were seeing the doctor, so I needed to wait. How was your prayer life? I was like, it's actually pretty good. I pray quite a lot. What prayers are you praying? Because, I mean... Depending on the prayers you're praying, your child...
My mouth is on the floor.
Yeah. I've had quite a bit of those. That's just like one out of a whole lot of others. And you would bump into this other person while... Because I always would go out with her. Like, whenever I could get the chance to the mall.
Yeah.
And because of her body posture, she sits in a certain type of way that you would get people saying, why is her neck dropped? Can't you see that your daughter needs help?
Mm.
And I'm thinking, well, I would have to say, no, thank you very much. Initially, I would like want to go mad about it. But then
I can imagine. You heard my road rage. You can just imagine me being asked questions, which are none of anybody's business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
So it takes a lot of composure.
Yeah.
Eventually. I mean, initially it's pretty hard because you want to answer everyone.
Mm.
But then you realize there's a lot of ignorance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you look at it from that aspect and you say, where was I before I had her?
Okay.
I might have been that person.
Right. Right. Because I think there are times, as with the prayer warrior from the hospital, where people seem to think they know the solution for you, but you are the one walking that road.
Mm-hmm.
in those interactions, do you feel the need to educate, or do you just feel like, I just want to end this interaction and move on?
I actually started educating.
Okay. Okay.
Like, I would literally just say a few sentences. I would even, like, pre-structure them.
Yeah, yeah.
Before I go out, so that if I'm asked certain questions, I have answers.
Really?
And I would just tell them, like, no, this is what it is. It's cerebral palsy, and you've probably seen a lot of children who are in this kind of situation. When you see a neck like this, it's not because it's, you know, the child is not being sat right, but it's because of ABC.
Okay.
I got to an extent where I realized that this is getting a bit, people needed to know more.
Yeah.
So I got to a point where I started writing a diary, and I put it on Facebook. It's called Diary of a Special Needs Mom Zambia, which I haven't written in a long time.
Please get back. She said to herself as well, I write short story. I haven't written. No, please. Well,
yeah. Yeah,
this is our to-do list. This next quarter.
Yes.
Next quarter.
So I felt like I needed to get to that place where I'm telling people this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that at least there's a few more people out there that understand, so that it's not as, you're not facing those things as often as.
Okay. Since we're talking about educating, what kind of conversations have you had with your sons about their sister?
Yeah. That one's been quite hard. I mean,
they've
gone from watching dad and mom take sister to South Africa every few months for treatment.
Yeah.
And I got to the point where the second one would be like, how come we never go on these trips? She always manages to go to nice places. Like, no, she's not actually going to a nice place. She's going to a hospital where she has to be treated and medicated, and it's not pretty, and it's not nice, and it's not fun.
So
I've had to sit them down from those kinds of things, to sitting them down and saying, you know, this is the condition that your sister has. You need to protect her.
Yeah,
that's why she's fortunate enough to have four brothers to protect her. I mean, it goes to extents where maybe you get one of them come home laughing at another child who was behaving in a certain manner. And there's things like autism as well. So autism is like, a child will look normal, but these conditions.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I would tell them that there's children like this, they're special out there. So you really need to see from your sister. Imagine someone's coming to laugh at your sister.
Yeah.
Are you going to feel the same way if the way you're laughing at someone else?
Right, yeah.
So I've really had to kind of, but they love her so much. Like, they're very protective.
Yeah.
And very.
Yeah. So, and this, but how was it? So your older sons sort of have known her as she has grown. What has it been like?
For the younger ones.
For the younger ones. Because I can imagine initially they probably saw that this is how our sister is.
Yeah.
Then maybe as they interacted with the outside world, things started looking a bit
different.
And did they ask questions?
They're not at the asking questions age, but all they would say is, initially they would be like, why isn't she getting up? Why doesn't she want to play with us?
Right, right.
So you say, no, she's just, this is how she is. But if you play with her, she will laugh. She will just don't pull her hand too hard.
Of course,
Don't play. Don't jump up. Don't jump around her.
Yeah.
Don't jump up and down around her.
Yeah.
Because you might hurt her.
Yeah.
She won't be able to move.
So
it's just those little things, because they're still at an age where they're kind of
and discovering themselves as all five.
Yeah. I mean, discovering that there are two people that look exactly alike. So
they're identical twins.
Yes.
Wow. They hit this surprise. He just kept giving.
Yeah.
Okay. And what has it been like with other children coming in the home?
So with that, it's been different types of experiences.
Okay.
You would get the ones who'd be like, oh, so what's wrong with her? She looks like she's sick. Have you taken her to the hospital? Or you would get the other ones that would just come and give her a hug. I mean, it's very weird how she attracts a lot of
affection,
yeah, and love. It's weird, because I mean, even with like a lot of even just adults,
really,
like the first if they know her, she's the only person they'll be checking on and asking about.
Oh, okay.
And these are the people that I probably don't know, I met once, and they would call just to check how's Tinta
really
doing, or just kind of even like on Facebook or whatever, they'll ask how is she doing. I mean, she draws a lot of affection and attention.
Okay.
Yeah. So even with the kids, it's really weird how they, most of them would go and give her a hug and a kiss or.
That's beautiful. Okay. That's interesting. So your son mentioned how come she goes to nice places. How do you balance spreading yourself as a mother? You have a child that needs you more than the others, but then you have the others who also need you. Is it possible? Do you have guilt sometimes?
At this point, I'm dealing with a lot of guilt.
Really?
Around her. Because I think I've been focusing a lot more on the others because they're all reaching their
certain developmental stages, yes. Right?
So, like, I'm dealing with the older one who's obviously teenage.
Of course.
It's got its own.
Of course. Yes.
So, its own drama and own story. And then I've got the second one who's in exam year. He's in year six, but it's an exam year at his school.
Ah, okay.
So he needs his own attention.
Right, right.
And then the twins are at that age where they need,
of course,
a lot of attention as well. So you find that because she used to be we would be in and out of hospital.
Yeah,
in her first 5 years.
Okay.
And now she's kind of stabilized.
Okay.
She's obviously still kind of needing a lot of help.
Yeah.
But stabilized.
Okay.
In regards to like if she's unwell, find she's in a room and you wouldn't even remember that she's so quiet.
Yeah.
And then everyone else kind of takes over.
Right.
So I'm still finding it very difficult. And really? So what I usually try and do, like yesterday, the boys had to like go. stay with her.
Some mother and daughter time.
Yeah. Mm. So it's a huge battle. It is. It's hard.
Okay. Yeah. Because I can imagine. Because one, I mean, as you're saying, maybe because she's sort of out of the worst part, you know, where you were in and out of hospital.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine. I mean, we had one episode where we had a sibling of an autistic child on the spectrum. And we were wondering, like, what was that like?
Yeah.
And she kind of said, like, oh, I kind of just became a parent to my younger sister because I saw that my mother
needed the help.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to step up.
Mm, so I always wonder for, you know, in those instances, do you think it's kicked in for your 16-year-old or not yet?
So he's in boarding school. So when he's at home, I get him to be more involved with the twins so that I can take that aspect away from...
Yeah.
So that mommy can try and mind what's going on. Mm. And the fact that I've got help as well kind of helps to a certain extent and maybe not...
Okay.
Because when you've got help, you're like, okay, at least I've got a nanny helping me with her. So there's always someone there.
Yeah.
But then I have to remind myself that I always need to be in her space as well. And then I feel guilty because then I'm like, why do I have to remind myself?
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. So now let's talk about that same help. You've said you've had someone who has been with you 8 years.
8 years on off.
On off. Because obviously I know mothers... their biggest dread, particularly when their child cannot communicate with them what happens.
Mm.
There's that anxiety, like, can I trust
another person? Yeah.
I mean, does that anxiety ever go away?
It doesn't. I mean, up to recently, I was being told by... They always tell on each other.
Right. Yes.
So one was like, no, this one is there. She doesn't really notice. And I'm now panicking because I'm thinking, well, maybe it's time to put cameras in the house. But then I'm like, fortunately, I'm a believer.
Yeah.
So I've always said, you know what? At the end of the day, I think God just takes care of our kids, to be honest.
Yeah.
If I went down that road of thinking I've left my children...
Mm.
And they're with this help and I don't know what's happening.
Mm.
I think we would never leave our home.
Yeah, the paranoia would just be too much.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. Okay. But I'm glad you have found, I mean, I've had my help with no children for like 10 years. Wow. And whenever I say that to people, they're like, what?
Yeah.
10 years? I feel like... some sort of gem. I'm like, yes, we've been together.
And if you find someone that it's so important to just kind of.
Yeah, at this point, she can't leave.
No.
At this point, she can't leave.
She's now family.
Yeah. And I now know that there's nowhere she will go. We are just, it's mutually assured. Okay.
Yeah.
How so? You talked about the fact that you take a, is she like on a wheelchair or?
So yeah, so she's got a wheelchair stroke stroller.
Okay.
Okay, so it started with stroller and then went into like a specialized wheelchair.
Okay.
Which has been issues as well because before. I nearly went to State House, like walking to State House campaigning.
Because I want to ask that, you know, like 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, I ruptured my tendon and I was on crutches.
Oh, wow.
I was like, this country
this
does not consider, and I mean, that for me was temporary, right?
But imagine but someone
I was
who's...
like, yes. Just parking at a mall. And I don't know why they put, like, only on one side of the mall is where they put...
They put the handicap.
Yes, and then there's cones. I remember having to hoot because this guard had left the cone. I was just hoot. And then it dawned on me, like, this... Why are we not considering the fact that not everybody is able to move?
There's so many special needs out there. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, for us, it was airport.
Really?
Airport was my biggest nightmare. Because at that time, it was before this new airport.
Yes, yes.
And travel.
You'd park there. Yes. And then you'd walk through that.
And then they, because she's a small child, but heavy. Because they're looking at her like, so you, the ignorance.
Mm.
They're looking at this child and like, why is this child on a stroller? Because this child looks like they can walk.
Mm.
So now we've got that. And then you get to the first, what's it called? The security.
Yes, yes.
So they tell you, take her out, bundle up the stroller, put it through the machine.
And then you're going to be like, how?
And well, look, so initially it was easy because she was smaller. And then she started getting bigger.
Yes.
And this is like 25 kgs and you're being told to do that. And I got to a point where I was just like, enough is enough. And I just told them, do what you want to do. I will pass her through this thing because unless you can pick her up and hold her yourself, and then we can have this story. But as long as I'm the one lifting her, I'll end up dropping her.
Yeah.
I mean, it got so bad, like, even at, when you're entering the plane, you have to climb the stairs with her.
Oh, yes, because they...
So now there was one time I saw this guy who's in crutches, and I was like, okay. He managed to get that, I've forgotten the name. That's how long ago we traveled.
Mm.
But the...
The little thing that the little...
Yes, that lifts up and down.
The, yeah.
So he had that done for him.
Yeah.
We would always ask for that thing and be told it's not working. So I got to a point where I just really got mad. And I just like went to the thing of South African Airways and I got to their desk and I said, we need to get on this plane. And if you don't do this for us, I'm going to put this on full blast.
Yes.
Because enough is enough. And that's the only time. But when you get to the other side, and this is what I'm saying, Zambia, we're very backward in regards to, I'm not sure about now, but that was then. You get to SA, you get South Africa, and they literally meet you at someone to come and take her from you, take her to wherever she to the special needs space where you'll wait for your whatever to be done. You don't have to queue up. You don't have to.
Yes.
And I just said, where are we in Zambia? Like, we've got.
Yeah, because I mean, I saw that in Dubai, where there was you know, like provision being made for someone who couldn't get on the flight. It was when we were scanning. And that's where I saw like, okay, look, they're making provision for her and everything. And then the good part was that we were getting on the plane from like, you know, the straight from the airport, not having to go up the stairs. Because for me, that was also my nightmare when I was in recovery. You know, where you tell everybody, oh, no, just go. I'm a bit slow when I go up the stairs when I was recovering.
You don't need to go up the stairs.
But people are just, they don't care.
I mean, we had to use the what's it called? The escalator.
Yeah.
It was that little small escalator that, once you enter to
one,
after you do the immigration, and because we want to go and sit in comfort, we want to go into F&B lounge and sit.
Yes.
So if we don't, we decide to follow what they ask us to do, it would mean going through like a tunnel like arrangement to now go and wait right at the air where the airplane is, and I was always stressed. And then with me, I'm like 0, 1, 2. With my husband, he's 0, 2. Like, he doesn't have an in-between.
And I agree.
He would sit back and
I agree.
Wait for me to do what I needed to do, to say what I needed to say, and then he would just be like, okay, let's go now.
Because I used to get so frustrated, and this was just like 8 weeks on crutches. No, yeah, or something like, it felt like forever. Yeah. And I kept thinking, how do other, like, what's other people's everyday? Yeah. And it's small things. You're like, this building, which appears to, you know, should it should be helping a lot of people, there is no ramp.
Yep.
Why is it just stairs?
Just taking a walk. So we say, they say, let her have some fresh air.
Oh, there's, because there's no pavement.
We lived in Woodlands Extension.
Yeah.
And the roads, like, there's no
pavement. There's no so pavement. Where you put, yeah, and I
literally like trying to, and I just said, I'm not doing this, either that or you're walking on the road, and that's dangerous.
And that's the thing, because I'm like, and sometimes it's what I say to mothers when they're buying strollers, when they're preparing for a child, I'm like, where are you going to use this stroller?
Yeah,
is it at the mall? Yeah. Just
to or look pretty at the mall.
And but now this is how you get your daughter to enjoy life.
Yeah.
And it's like, we are not adapting fast. Do you feel like we are not done? Should we just go to State House?
I think so.
Because, I mean what are the days
medication.
Like?
Yeah. Medication is hard. Like, the medication she's on, you find like one, and the only place you probably find it is in, what's this pharmacy? This,
the one that starts with L.
Link. So Link is the only place, and then Link has got its own prices.
Of course.
So I'm saying that there's people that we're fortunate enough to be able to, whenever we find, we can get.
Yeah.
But there's this, those people that are literally crying out.
So yeah.
Don't even know where we're going to get the next medication.
Mm-hmm.
Because in UTH, I don't remember the last time it was found there.
Really?
So I'm like, at what point are we figuring out that we've got so many people who are in need of these
facilities?
That we need to like stand up and just say, you know what, enough is enough.
Mm.
We need the medication. We need the facilities.
Yeah.
Everything is literally expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, it's small things. I don't know whether your daughter's in school. She's not.
She is in school.
She is?
Yes.
Really?
She is in school.
Has the school adapted?
The school. So I fought with the school. Uh-huh. Then we removed her from that school and we took her back because it was like the only school that kind of dealt with her in a okay way.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Obviously, maybe we haven't just shopped around.
Right, right.
But with schools, it's been crazy. I mean, the last time they're supposed to have, like, it's supposed to be a special needs school. Mm, so they're supposed to have everything special around her, like physio and.
Yes.
And the physio part, there was a time where, I mean, we're parents, we can only go so far.
Yeah.
We only know so much.
Yeah.
So we were expecting these people to come and give us feedback and say, you need to do more of this and less of that.
Mm.
So we didn't realize that there was something that was building up in her, like her ankles.
Mm.
They were literally, there was like a drop foot kind of arrangement. Which
right,
is when
yes.
She's not able to like put her foot in a 90 degree position.
Yeah.
And it was literally dropping.
Mm.
And I'm not sure what was happening at the school, whether they were doing physio, whether they weren't.
Yeah.
But eventually when we took her to her pediatric neurologist in SA, we were told that, no, she's got a drop foot and she needs surgery. And we're like, okay, so this, how did it get to this surgery?
Mm,
So I went back to the school and I'm like, oh, this is what happened and we've had to do this. And they're like, yeah, no, but you need to realize that your daughter's condition is like more of, on a scale of 1 to 10, she's more like a 9. So there's only so much we can. Oh, I was like, yeah. I held in quite a lot. So yeah, it's things like that. I mean, like, at what point are we able to have facilities that can actually be accountable and be and have the professional enough staff to be able to.
Kachi Hande is recorded and produced by Vibecast Podcast Network. Vibecast ZM is Zambia's premier podcast network. Get in touch with Vibecast on 0979-591899 or email production@vibezm.com. You can also search for Vibecast ZM on all social media platforms. Vibecast, making it possible for you to tell your stories. Now let's continue this conversation. One of my nieces is at a school with a child with special needs. I'm not sure what. what you know, like what sort of help she actually needs or what condition she has. But it was like my niece saying like, oh, she's new, but she comes with an auntie to class. And I was trying to understand like what the school explained to the children.
Yeah, because there should be that explanation.
Yeah, and I was watching this child just explain to me how there's a new girl. And I kept, and you know, she was, but the way she was explaining, she wasn't explaining, you know, where like, I'm curious, like, tell me more. But she was kind of like, yeah, she comes with the auntie. And then when we write, she follows on the dotted line. But she's new and she's in my class. Aww. And on the one hand, I was like, okay, first of all, I'm so happy that you are so like accommodating.
Yeah.
You haven't said it like it's an inconvenience.
Yeah.
But then I thought, should the teachers not have told you a bit more about your... about
like
your...
a day where they teach
yes.
kids and say, this is what's her name and then this is what she, she is. And this is, you know, she's our special child in the class. And I don't know. I mean, there's that to it. There's two sides of that.
Yeah.
There's... the reason why a lot of parents take their, I mean, for example, I know like a lot of autistic children's parents, depending on how far on the spectrum they are, they'll take their children to like normal schools because they don't want them to be labeled.
Right, right.
So when they get, when the children get explanations like them being labeled, I'm not sure, maybe that's what
it is. Okay, okay. Because sometimes I wonder, I suppose, because sometimes I wonder, do we want to educate our children so they understand their friend and maybe even help their friend? Because sometimes I even feel like children may be more observing than an adult who's in their own world.
I mean, there's that too. I think that needs to be done, but obviously maybe not based around that particular child.
Right, right.
I think
there
should be education in every school around special needs.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, there's so many kinds of special needs.
Yes.
For my daughter, I there's good and bad to it. There's the good side of it is people will notice that, yes, she is special needs.
Yeah.
So they will treat her as that.
Right, right.
Whereas there's the children that have...
like you can't... issues. Yeah, and you can't see it when you look at...
You just see a child throwing a tantrum in a shop say, oh my gosh, those parents are just...
Yeah.
They don't care about their children. They spoil their children.
Yes, yes.
Not knowing that that child is having a meltdown.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of teaching children maybe like 5 or 6 different kinds of...
Right, right.
So that they know that if I see a child who looks like this or who's behaving in this manner, I will know to think twice and say, it could be this.
Okay, like I hear that. So I was having another conversation with an older niece of mine who encountered for the first time a classmate that stammers.
Wow.
And she said, and she had some guilt. She's like, when he started reading, we laughed a bit. So then I had to explain that a stammer is actually more common. Even when I said to her, you actually have members of your family that have it. But I said to her, every person has a different uniqueness. And she was like, uniqueness, how? I said, no, sometimes we look at, because a uniqueness is like you can see it and maybe you can touch it and it's different. That doesn't mean that you must now treat that person differently. Because each one of us has a particular uniqueness.
Yeah.
Now, I say this now because I've seen pictures of you and your daughter in like matching outfits and stuff like that. How do you embrace her uniqueness?
How do I embrace her uniqueness? I treat her as the only daughter I have. So the princess I wanted, I got. So that's what it is. And what I've learned to do is, I remember being told, I'm not sure, there's a story somewhere that I never read, but I was told about.
Yeah.
About this, it's actually a true story.
Mm-hmm.
There's this man who now, I think you probably know, now that I'm thinking about it, I actually remember that it's a very famous one.
Yeah.
That had a machine that he eventually had made that could say the words, but then he just kind of...
Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if that's the story, but then it could be him or it could be someone else.
Yeah.
But apparently when he was younger, the same person, when they were younger, they were used to be left because they were just like a proper special needs, weren't able to do anything. Would be left in a room by themselves, locked up. Maybe not locked up, but closed door. While everyone else was in the living room watching TV, doing whatever. The thing with that, with what he said eventually when he could be able to communicate, he says, I understood everything. I just couldn't communicate. And I felt really bad. That I would be left in a room alone. So when I heard that story, it really helped me. So, you know what? Whenever I always tell the aunties, please put her on her chair, bring her to the living room, let her be in the noise with the brothers and whatever. As long as they're shouting, they're screaming, the TV, as long as she's interacting with everyone.
When
she gets tired, you can take her to the room, let her sleep. But let's not have her alone. Put her on the chair. Put her, but as long as she's around a lot of noise. Because that stimulates her brain.
And I think that is beautiful and commendable, like, for you, because we have heard, like, people who sort of, like,
just lock their children up.
Yes, and so such that we're, like, I think even growing up, when I think back, there were places where, like, we heard that...
You never even knew there was, until later on, that there was a child.
Yes, or, like, you knew, but, like, you never saw them. Maybe you peeped through the window and maybe just saw, like, someone lying in bed. And I mean, it's so, interesting for you to have heard that perspective, to say, I understood everything. I just couldn't communicate. Yeah, and just because she may not fully... Does she communicate?
So she will communicate when she's hungry. She'll communicate when she's upset. Uh-huh. She actually smiles a bit. She laughs.
Yeah.
So it's I mean, not laughs. I mean, we would know.
Yeah.
Someone else obviously wouldn't get that. That's
right,
what she's trying to
right.
do. But for me, I think that has all come about because we have involved her.
Yes. Yes.
And I think she's where she is because of that. Yes, I would love her to be a lot more independent. But I guess the time and whatever help that comes along, whenever it does, and unfortunately in Zambia we don't have that much. So yeah, it's quite a journey.
It is quite a journey.
Yeah.
It is. And because you and I'm sure your children, your husband, your family, you've embraced this uniqueness. And you were writing your Facebook stories about your different things. Are you taking your story out there still?
I'm doing it now.
Yes, you are.
I'm doing it now. Because I felt like that's something that kind of gave me purpose. There's a point where I just felt like I had no purpose in me going back to work after 7 years. So
really?
I needed to do stuff. And then I realized that even this in itself was something that I was sitting on. A lot of people would ask me, why don't you?
You
are like one of those people that have got a huge platform.
Yes.
You're able to like reach out to enough people that can at least understand what you're going through. And even if they're going through the same things.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it this is like obviously a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it will get, the platform will be.
Definitely. We're a growing podcast. See, this is why you need to like, share and do everything to this podcast. We need to tell Mutinta's story everywhere. Okay. And I wanted to then now also touch on, you know, in a perfect world, if you could have like all of Zambia's ears, what would you like to tell them about your daughter, your experience, her condition? What would you like us to know, or what, and even what would you like us to do?
For me, I would like people to be a bit more knowledgeable, and obviously that comes from us who are dealing with these special children.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, my daughter has opened up so much.
Yeah.
She's, like I said, given me purpose.
Yeah.
I'm not the person I used to be. I've literally changed. And with time, I've learned to find out more, learn more about what her condition is like.
Yeah.
What other conditions are like, because I've obviously gone out there and interacted with a lot of other mothers who are dealing with a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And for that Zambian out there that's, doesn't know much, I'm just like, if you could reach out to just even one person, because my thing is, if it's not, if it hasn't happened to you in your own home,
yeah,
it will definitely, it's definitely something that could happen in a home close to you.
Yeah.
And it's not even about a child being born with a condition. These things happen even with accidents. And
so
it's something everyone needs to know. Everyone needs to have some knowledge on it. And even just with the government, they need to be a little bit more with their ears on the ground when it comes to people living with differently abled conditions and whatnot, because there's so many people out there. It's amazing. It's shocking. And a lot of people are complaining that there's no medication, there's no help, there's no... Yes, there is, but not enough.
That's true. That's true.
So for me, it's a case of what is that Zambian out there that can make a difference going to do about it?
So are you part of any groups, any movements?
No.
Well, yeah, we have homework. No, but I sort of get, I mean, I don't know.
And I'll tell you why.
Why?
I think I've had a few bad experiences around those things. Really? I think a lot of people have gone out there. And that's why a lot of people shun on foundations and stuff like
that. Of course, yes.
I think people, not everyone, I'm sure there's a lot of good movements out there.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are for the money factor.
Right.
And just trying to like show that I'm here and get some fame out of it. It's something that I was considering. I actually did start the paperwork.
Okay.
It was called Ziwukani Foundation. Still is on paper. But for me, I looked at it from an aspect of I want to help that next person, the next mother that doesn't have the help.
Right.
And I wanted it to be like an all-inclusive
thing. Yeah.
Where they get everything they need from there. The information.
Yeah.
They get support. The care. Like we could have carers there.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just, when I look at these movements and whatnot, I do follow them. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But actively involved, I've been in like an autism one, cerebral palsy. There's been a few, but I haven't been like because of those same reasons.
And
on the other hand, maybe I wasn't just ready.
Because sometimes it is that as well.
So it's been a few things, and I've just told myself like maybe now is the time to come out and just find the right people to be.
To partner with. Because I mean I've heard people who maybe are part of, you know, foundations of movement or movements.
Yeah.
And I've also heard them say stuff like, look, we started out one way and all I wanted was to like tell the world and get everybody to know about the situation.
Yeah.
And then I kind of got exhausted.
Yeah.
Because in as much as I was going out there educating people, I was now using that energy out there when my person actually needed me.
Yeah.
And I actually, and now I'm more comfortable with the fact that I'm pouring into my person and I'm okay with the fact that I'm not out there. Because I mean, I know even when I said, I said that with the back of my head.
I'll give you an example of, I remember my experience walking into the center that was at UTH. I don't think it's open anymore. I don't even know because of my experience.
Yeah.
I think I went there once, twice, three times. We took her there for physiotherapy.
Yeah.
Very good space. They did a lot of amazing work. But I was so scared with the amount of children I saw. And I thought I had, you know, really? When you think you've got,
like my burden is heavy.
Yes.
And then you see.
And every time I went there, I would walk out with tears and I was heavy. I was tired because of what I would see. And I was just like, I think maybe there's some fear in it as well.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to go down this road, I'm going to see so many things that will overwhelm me. And I'm not sure how much help I can give.
Right. Right. And do you think you have made peace with that? Because I know that some people, when they're like, guys, I'm not going to do another march. Sometimes they feel guilt. Like, am I letting...
No, I think I've made peace with it. Because I think even just the few people that I reach out to is a lot.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we are so focused on like maybe hundreds of thousands. No. But we don't know that five is actually more impactful.
Two, three phone calls and someone calls you and says, I think you're amazing for reaching out and for literally letting the world know what's going on in your space, because not everyone does that.
Yeah. No, that's true. I wish they could see the I saw one where you were wearing like orange, green skirts.
Is that yellow dresses?
Yes, yellow dresses. I'm like, this is such a beauty. I mean, I stalked you a bit, forgive me. But I'm like, this is such a beautiful picture, because I was like, I think, I don't even know whether you needed to say anything.
No.
Just the picture.
Just the picture.
Alone,
yeah.
You kind of just see this child that's so loved and so celebrated.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what's fun? What makes me feel better? Because mm-hmm. there's times I feel guilty that maybe there's not that much love coming out.
Mm.
Is when you take her to places, or when someone actually comes and sees her, and they're like, "This child actually does look loved."
Mm-hmm.
Because there's children who will look like, yeah, there's a problem.
Yeah,
they need
help. You can see, yeah, that there's some neglect.
Yeah.
Mm.
And for me, I've been very fortunate, because I know there's a lot of homes out there where the parents literally just, it can't even happen.
Like, yeah.
Things just go pear-shaped because of that special needs child.
Yeah.
But we've been very fortunate that I don't know how, that we actually just worked together as a team and said, this is what we're going to do. And we're still trying to work together as a team.
Yeah.
Because we're obviously never stopping at that one thing.
Yeah.
We're looking for the next thing to see what can help her.
Yeah.
Because you always have to have some hope.
You always have to have hope. That's true.
Yeah.
But I mean, I should probably say it again, because I mean, I have seen children in certain conditions, and where you don't want to judge, obviously, because you don't know, like you said, what's going on in their home. And obviously, for some, maybe even for the parents, it's difficult to come to the acceptance of the uniqueness of their children. But from my stalking ways, I haven't met her. I haven't met her yet, but it was just beautiful to see her so celebrated. Yeah. There was even a picture where you guys were in like blue and white.
Yes,
and there she was. I'm like, there she is with her four brothers. So that is, I mean.
Yeah.
So commendable on your part that you have just embraced her uniqueness and constantly celebrate like the beautiful child that you have.
You get that one odd person who says, but why do you always post her? I'm like,
why do you always post your face, Margaret? See, road rage, meet everywhere.
Yeah, I'm like,
because I'm like, she's my child.
Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, oh, post this one and that one and leave out because she doesn't fit the part. Like, actually, she makes the part look very beautiful.
Yes. And I think, though, for me, I mean, if I was given the platform, I think I would feel like sometimes people really need to check themselves before they say things out loud.
Yeah.
Because people will say things and they, I don't know whether they think they're helping.
I don't know.
Or, because
like,
I'm like,
I think that, and then the person like comes out and says, no, it's because you know some of these things, you don't know who did what and to make this happen, and then you're now putting her out there to just get more of the. I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, let's stop.
See, that's why I go to rage. That's why I go to rage. But no, I mean, it's beautiful. But let us know when it's time to go and march, because it's the small things.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it would be good for her to just go for a walk.
Yeah.
But where there's, and others like her to be able to go for a walk, to be able to do pavement.
Yes.
Because guys, pavement is so helpful.
I mean, there's that pavement that our former mayor had tried to.
Yes, help. Yes.
And that was a good initiative.
No, it was.
Because no, people didn't realize that initiative would help that next person who wants to just go down.
Yes.
And take a walk with the person in the wheelchair.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because, I mean, I think we take things for granted because we don't open our minds to the fact that there's someone with a unique feature about their life who may actually need something more than I do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even small things like our public transport. I mean, you are blessed with a car and that's great. But no, the person that needs to take the child to the hospital on a minibus.
It's crazy.
With like interesting personalities.
I remember there was one lady who said, I have to pay for three chairs.
What?
The back chair. I have to pay for all of the, I don't know if they're three or four. Mm-hmm. I have to pay for all of them if I'm going to go on that bus with my daughter. So I would rather put her on my back. This is a 14-year-old.
Oh my goodness.
And she would, I think she was walking from like Mutendere to UTH. And I was just like, wow.
Yeah, because it may be, is there a direct bus to UTH from Mutendere?
No, I don't know. But then she had to literally pay for how many buses?
And then three, yeah. Mm. And I think it's those small things. You would hope that, I mean, because I've been fortunate to be like in the UK where there's designated portions of the bus for your stroller or for your wheelchair.
Even just the council, they provide a home and everything for you.
Yes, they adapt your home. They come and, you know, put a bath.
That's another thing that a few seconds off that I should explain and say, which is, for me, was the way God works, the way the world works.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in the UK and before I came back, I was in health and social, I was doing health and social care.
Yeah.
And I had to do like, obviously, the practical side of it.
Mm.
So I was taking care of this lady
and
she was completely, she could only use her fingers.
Yeah.
She could talk, at least she could talk.
Yeah.
But her whole body was just not working. And it was a lot of problems that she was dealing with. She was on she was on a wheelchair.
Yeah.
She had a beautiful home.
Yeah.
The council had a home for her. It was all done up properly, the shower and whatnot.
Mm.
I worked for her for like 3 years.
Yeah.
I was doing this job and that's when I realized I had some patience.
Really?
Because before that, I didn't know what dealing with a special needs person was.
Right.
And then I was put in that position.
Mm.
And then I was in it for like 3 years. And then fast forward.
You know, God does work in mysterious ways. And I'm not saying anything, Walia, but I'm just saying, can you imagine
got prepared for a very similar situation. I mean, this was a person, and what she was, with the condition she had, was as good as what my daughter's condition is. And it was just the same things that I'm doing for her that I knew how to dress my daughter from that experience.
Wow. So have you had to adapt your home to an extent?
To an extent. So when she was born, we were living in another home.
Okay.
And then we moved to the farm.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had to build the home in a certain way that
accommodated
her as well, to a certain extent.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, so we've been very fortunate. She's got like her chair in the house, which we use just for the house, and then she's got the one for the outside.
Okay.
But and all these things, I mean, they come at their own expenses.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure.
And my sister was complaining just the other day. She says, how is it possible that things for people who are already struggling are expensive?
Yeah.
Like, how unfair is that?
We've got a long way to go. And sometimes I feel like if you had to write a list, you don't even know where you would start from.
No.
Because you want to be like, okay, hospital. No. Maybe prenatal care. No. Maybe just education.
Just education.
Because then maybe we work our way down to like finally payment. Because it's not like she's not deserving of a full life like everybody else.
Yeah.
And while you can give her that, you want the rest of the world to similarly adapt to that.
Yeah.
But it's a very beautiful story, to be honest with you. And like I said, she looks all loved up in her mommy's matching outfits and pictures with her brothers.
Yeah.
No. But thank you so much for coming. Dogs. Thank you so much for coming through to Kachihande Walia. Thank you so much for sharing your story and your beautiful daughter's life experiences. I think what we are always trying to do is just try and educate people a little bit so that maybe we can be more empathetic. Yeah. We can be more supportive to people who are having life experiences that may be a little bit different from ours.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
We are so grateful. And when it's time to march, the announcement is coming here.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to march up on State House to make our necessary claims.
Yes.
But thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You've been such a pleasure. Thanks, everyone. Please remember to like and share. And follow our Instagram page and our Facebook page to keep interacting with us as we continue having the difficult conversations on Kachi Hande. Thank you for listening to this episode of Kachi Hande. Please make sure you subscribe on Anchor, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Like and follow our Facebook page, Kachi Hande, to keep the conversation flowing. Share it with your friends, your family, your colleagues, and everyone around you. It's time we have those conversations we're too scared to have.